Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Manza from Slovenia, so-called lady in red, but right now lady in yellow.
Hi, I'm Sarah Wilson, and this is Wild, a podcast about living a more beautiful and fired up life. Here we will continue my 10-year nomadic journey, living out of one bag, in search of more connection, more awakeness, less consuming, less loneliness, and less bloody scrolling. I'll be inviting you to join me in finding better ways to radically love and save our one wild and precious life on this planet. Okay, so this is a little bonus idea we've thrown into this Wild series. It's a short episode where I follow up on someone who has become part of the storyline I share in my books and elsewhere that some of you have got a little bit obsessed over. Anyone who has read my most recent book, This One Wild and Precious Life, will know the lady in red. And for today's episode, I've tracked her down. If you've not read my book, look, don't worry, this story should have universal appeal. So 4 years ago, while researching the book, I wound up in Ljubljana, the stunningly quaint capital of Slovenia, the world's only carless capital city that's been voted greenest city in the EU several times over. It was a heat wave in August and a public holiday, and I was lost and fretty, as I would often get from living so long solo and sort of homeless, I guess. So I sat in the cafe for a bit when I noticed this lady in red. I'll read the bit in the book to give the vibe. A woman, I'm guessing in her late 30s, was sitting alone opposite me. She just sat there, watching. There was a heat wave on this day in Slovenia, and it was a public holiday. The square was suspended in an eerie abandon. You could hear church bells from across the river. Roller doors were down. This woman sitting on her own wore all red. A red skirt, a red and white striped t-shirt and red Birkenstocks. Her hair tied low in a knot. Her legs were crossed and her hands rested in her lap. And I really just dug her. She was not reading a book, not looking at a phone. For 45 minutes, she just sat there with soft eyes in a chosen stillness. Caffeinated and craving the kind of connection particular to talking to strangers in foreign cafes, I reached over. "Do you mind if I ask? What are you doing?" She smiled. "On special days, I like to sit and think nothing." By special days, she meant public holidays. I asked if I could take a picture and post it on social media, and I wrote out our conversation in the post. For some reason, it hit a collective nerve. There were a stack of comments. Did she tell you how she could just sit there like that? Some said the picture made them feel sad and it reminded them of something they used to be able to do but no longer could, like doing cartwheels into pools. It's like we're jealous of this ability, almost angry in the face of it. How dare she not be distracted while we must battle the incessant suckhole? What makes her think she's allowed to ignore the stimulus, the requests? And how dare she not succumb to the modern fear of missing out? But we're aware, aren't we, that in these moments, no one robbed us. No one forced us to become so distracted and so trapped, so unable to sit still and quiet and not need more likes, more feedback, more action, more. Which is where the unfathomable sadness comes in, right? We have trapped ourselves, And we miss the version of ourselves that used to be able to be like this. So what the lady in red really triggered was a nostalgia. Nostalgia, I was interested to learn recently, is a Greek word that means homesick. We are longing for home, for meaningful connection with ourselves. Anyway, the impact goes on. As people read about her in the book, they dug up the Instagram photo and reshared it, and I got DMs asking if we'd stayed in touch. Now, during one of the countless lockdowns, I was feeling listless, or maybe we should say languishing, and decided to hunt down the lady in red. So this is how I did it. I went to Google Earth and I zoomed in on the central town square and I found the cafe, I found its name, the sign out the front, and I contacted it on Facebook and asked if they knew my lady in red. They put a notice up on Facebook and sent a few emails and in a few days came back to me with a name, Monka, and an email address, Bingo. So a week later we connected on email and agreed to meet up again on Zoom. Now, I had the foresight to record it, but I have to apologise. The quality is crap. And we chat like we're awkward, giddy strangers, which I guess we are. And it was only later that I decided that I might share it with you on this podcast. There is much to love about our chat. The universality of our sadness and our collective longing. The simple movie set-like backdrop of the room that she's sitting in. I mean, it's just beautiful. And some insights into what the world has been doing while we've been so isolated here on our island. Anyway, I hope you enjoy my meetup with the lady in red.
I'm Manca from Slovenia, so-called lady in red, but right now lady in yellow.
Thank you so much. It is so nice to meet you. Again.
Well, thank you. I was so surprised that you found me on the first place.
Like a small world. And it's so funny that this kind of thing happened without you knowing about it. Like, I just sort of posted this photo and then all these people responded to it and it became a sort of a symbol of what people were feeling they were missing, and then it went into my book, and then people talk to me in the street. They say, did you ever hear from the lady in red? Do you know what her name is? Do you know what she's doing? And so it was sort of always my mission to find you again. And I thought I'd just ask the questions, because I actually asked on Instagram Live if there was anyone that wanted to ask you something, and I got over 100 people asking questions about you. Like, they're just fascinating.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. And it's, you know, from Canada to the UK, Australia. So what they wanted to know was whether you remember me first meeting you, that moment on a, I think it was a public holiday, and it was like August and it was really hot and it was very quiet in the city. Do you remember that at all?
I don't remember which holiday it was. Not at all. But I remember you coming to me and asking me if you could take a picture. So and then funny thing happened, like a year after, one girl sent me like a snapshot of your profile and, is that you? And I was like, oh yeah. So I kind of knew, but I didn't know about the reaction and the whole thing that happened after that. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember, because what fascinated me when I looked across and saw you is you were just sitting there very calmly and you were enjoying your own company. And that was the most significant thing. And I suppose, do you do that often? Is that something you still do, that you can sit there with your own thoughts and be comfortable doing nothing and being still and not being distracted?
Yes, I do that very often. But still depends on how I feel. If I'm good with myself, you know, if I'm in a good situation and everything, then I do that often. But usually I go and sit by the river. You've been in Slovenia, so I live near Ljubljana. So I often go there and just sit there. But also I like to go to cafes and just sit there and observe people. So yeah, I do that very often. But it doesn't really happen very often that I mean, at that time I didn't met anyone. Usually it's like someone is coming and, oh, hi, can I sit by? And then I start talking.
Yes.
So at that time you were the only one.
Came and spoke to you. Interrupted you. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because how old are you, Manka? Are you in your, do you mind me asking?
I'm 39.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm 47. And I think once you reach a certain age as a woman, it's, some people think it's quite strange to see a woman sitting on her own. No friend, no book, no newspaper. But then for a woman our age, we actually are very comfortable with ourselves, and so we are most comfortable sitting on our own, I think.
I'm a very outgoing person and I really love company, but I also really love being by myself, and especially in this COVID time, like in the last year, in the past year, I think this was the most precious time that I spent with myself. Because we weren't allowed to together, the bars were closed, everything was closed actually. And this was really, really, really precious for me, because otherwise I'm like always running around in the company or without. Of course, I love being by myself, but this year it was like, wow, a gift for me. I was spending so many hours alone in my apartment or by the river, reading books. And just thinking about myself, what to do, what are my goals and stuff. But what I wanted to say, it's like when I'm in stress or when I don't feel okay, then I'm seeking for, I don't know, a phone or something to distract my mind. And
yes, exactly.
I'm afraid of being by myself with my thoughts and stuff. But when I feel okay, then it's like perfectly natural just to be there, sitting, observing, thinking and stuff, yeah.
Flip side though, when you are anxious, I would imagine sometimes spending time with yourself can also make you less anxious if you can relax into that space, because you know, some people define anxiety as an inability to sit with yourself, you know, because you're constantly seeking from an answer outside of yourself, and that causes anxiety. So it's kind of a two-way thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Paradox. Yeah. So tell me, what you said that it was very special for you being sort of doing almost an extended version of what I saw you doing in the cafe. You did that during COVID.
Yes, as I said, like it was like usually I'm like running around, like seeking for the gallery openings, like concerts and stuff. So I'm like always surrounded with people, and it's kind of escape of from yourself or something.
Yeah.
Even though I feel quite okay with myself, but still, it's like there so many things that are distracting you and taking you away. And sometimes, I mean, before it was difficult just to take this time just for yourself, like to sit in the cafe without doing anything, or because there are too many things and I want to be everywhere. But this time, I mean, I was really calm. It really calmed me down, and I found out how good company I am just for myself.
Yeah, right. We were forced into a space where we had that ability to discover that. We wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you learned from yourself? Like, was there any awareness or awakening or realization? Or even change that you've made to your life from that time with yourself?
Well, it was like I bought an apartment like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I need always someone to encourage me or to do something or to do big steps. And because I live alone and I don't have a partner, that was a huge step for me. And I was so scared to do it. And then the next step was like just during the pandemic to do the renovation. So this was a bigger step for me because I don't know anything about electricity, water, walls and everything. So I was alone in that, but that was my decision that I made. And even though I was super scared because I had to leave my apartment. So now I'm living at my friend's house still because it's going on. And what I learned actually is how strong I am actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be comfortable with my decisions and to stand behind them. Like, no, I decided to do that. So yeah, I'm strong enough to go like all the way.
Yeah.
So and I am alone. And so usually I'm too scared to do something because I need someone to help me to go through. And this time I was alone. So I'm really proud of myself, even though the things are not going well. But yeah, this is like happens in the
situation. Isn't that an interesting thing? The studies show that we are much better at dealing with a bad decision than not making a decision in the first place. Whereas we think the opposite. We think, I'm not going to make a decision so that I don't make a bad decision. But we as humans, we cope with the bad decisions and we become so proud of ourselves for just doing something. We don't care what the result is, you know?
Yeah, and the bad decisions are the great teachers. I mean, they learn us like, usually with good decision, everything goes well. So we forget about all the path, all the struggles and everything goes easy. So we just then don't really cherish so much.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. It's so true. There were so many great lessons that came out of COVID. How long were you in full shutdown for?
For almost a year. I mean, actually, it was the whole year because on March, we got into lockdown and then we opened for for the summer, and then we got a lockdown again, and we just opened things in everything just a month ago.
So were you could leave the house just for groceries?
No, we could go for a walk, but we weren't allowed together with friends, only with partners or family, and we couldn't leave the municipality. For almost a year, we had a police hour, like hora legalis. Everything was closed at 9, so we had to be at home at 9, and you were not allowed to leave the house after 9, except if you went to work. So it was like, and this was going on for almost a year. So
you didn't have friends over for dinner. You couldn't date. You couldn't. There was no contact.
I mean, basically, it was forbidden. But again, I mean, I was working at that period, so I was like with my colleagues in daily contact, mainly with colleagues.
Okay, so you're allowed to go to work and share an office.
Yeah.
But not socialize. Okay. And so are you an animator? Because I had a look at the website. Is that what you do?
Actually, I'm a social worker, but I work in a family center. So I do creative workshops for kids. And beside that, I run also Incredible Years program for parents. So it's like half of my job is like working with parents and half of it is with kids.
Amazing.
And it's
creative stuff, as you know, with them. Yeah. Okay, because I was reading the website in Slovenian and I was thinking what it said.
Really? Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
No, I just remember one of the things that struck me about Slovenia is how aware the country is with climate policies. And so out of the pandemic, has the country got even more committed to climate change policy?
No, not really. Actually, now in Slovenia, there is a far-right political party that it's like really we're going into a great regression in all the matters of.
Wow.
So it's like really, actually the worst thing is like now our government and they don't really mind the environmental issues at all. They want to force the law that they can use all the water, like to that it's much easier to privatize. Is it the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Privatize, yeah, the water. And we have really strong initiatives of like activists here in Slovenia. So they are doing a great campaign just to, encourage people to open your eyes, come to referendum and...
But yeah, you've got a legacy of socialist thinking and sort of an activism, you know, which I met quite a few when I was there, which was awesome. Wow. Yeah, the world's either going conservative or the conservative governments are becoming quite socialist in their thinking in the US with their policies, you know. So it's a strange, strange time. Oh, one of the questions was, do you get lonely?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. What do you how does it make you, like, do you get panicky when you're lonely or is it something that you just accept? Or
I think that's part of life also. I mean, I don't get anxious, but maybe sad or make me think more of what it matters and how to I don't know, interact differently or how to do things differently. So it makes me think more because I don't know, it gets feeling lonely. I think it gets somewhere inside that opens some something else.
Vulnerable.
To think about.
Thank you, vulnerable. Then you have to go and do something. So I get the next grow. I'm very honest or at least open about the fact that I get lonely. But lonely can be quite a beautiful feeling if you don't get anxious around it.
Yeah.
If you accept that it's a really deep, sad emotion. It's a human emotion. And I agree with you. I get very creative when I'm lonely.
Songs,
the beautiful songs and the beautiful poems, I think, happened when the artist was in a really deep place of loneliness of some sort.
It's the forest. Not negative. That's why I like emotions are the force. Actually, are the forces to for a change, for a better. I think it's more a matter of how equipped again are you to solve this kind of struggles.
Yeah,
emotional struggles. You're in it.
And sometimes we don't discover how strong we can be, how equipped we are, until we're forced into it. Because as humans, we're not going to choose to go there. So when you're in a nice, comfortable relationship, or you don't have a pandemic and life is easy, you're not going to choose to go there, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes I use the phrase, to be rendered choiceless, it's freedom, you know? Freedom to truly create and contribute to the world, you know? So, look, one other thing I was going to ask you to do is, it sounds like you do have interest in climate stuff. Have you found it confusing? Have you found it overwhelming? Do you wonder what the hell is going on with life today? Is that something that you think about?
Very often. Yeah, very often. Because we are protesting in the local Slovenian level, because we are protesting for the first day that this government came into power. We are protesting every Friday. Every Friday we are on the street and demanding, like, leave, step out and give us, and nothing really changes. I mean, I get angry and, like, what does it really have to be like? Do we really have to use violence to make a change? So I'm like, It's not enough just to be on the street and to protest. I mean, isn't that enough?
Yeah.
And this is again, like, if you go to Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter and climate change, like, activists, like, what else can we do just to make changes? I mean, isn't it enough just to stand and raise your voice? Nothing really. So I think it's like, it makes me angry, because I'm confused. What else do we have to do to make us here? And I feel like I have my hands tight. But again, because I work with children, I think this is the best thing that can happen. I mean, you are raising new generations. So I think this is really a beautiful job and important job.
Yeah.
I mean, being a mother, for those who are mothers, I mean, to raise, like, really consciously and with all the messages that you want to give to your children. And also because I'm the third person who works with kids, so this is also very, very important to raise new generations to be aware of all the important issues that are going on.
I totally agree. Well, listen, this has been really wonderful to talk to you. It's just such a lovely thing that we live in a world where we can have just one moment and it can kind of grow into something else that can impact other people, you know? And it's just so lovely to just connect with random humans, you know? It's sort of, we've come in so close around COVID where so many of us feel isolated and lonely. And yet there are still moments, like, I live on my own. I did, you know, a lot of the COVID period on my own. I would say that the love that I feel and the warmth that I get, it's from people all around the world, and it always has been. I get less lonely from meeting strangers in other parts of the world than I do from even sort of the friends around me, to be honest.
Yes, I agree.
It's a funny old world, isn't it? Yeah. The day that I saw you, I was sitting there waiting to find out if I was pregnant. So I was waiting for a pregnancy test, and I was trying to find where I could go and get a pregnancy test on a public holiday. And so I ended up having to get an Uber over to two other villages away to go to a clinic where they could do a test on me.
So
I was waiting to find out if I was pregnant, and I found out just shortly after I spoke to you that I was pregnant. So the whole moment was very significant. And if I wasn't pregnant, I would be hiking up in the Julian Alps, you know, doing a big walk there. And so I had my harness and a helmet ready to go. And then if I was pregnant, well, I didn't know what to do. And so I'll have to send you the book so you can read what happens after that.
Oh, thank you.
funny
oh,
story.
What's the important day?
It was a really important day, and it was so hot. Like, I think it was, and it was quiet. It was a very quiet because, you know, there was just nobody around, you know. So it was a super lonely moment. And so, you know, that's why I probably went over to you. I know it's why I went over to you. I was just like, I need to talk to someone. And that woman in red, that lady in red is just so fascinating. it was a very important day, yeah. Anyway, lovely to reconnect. Obviously, if borders open up and if ever you make it to Australia, you know, I would love to host you. Yeah. You would have a bedroom here if you need to come and stay in Bondi. So,
well, thank you. I will let you know.
Yes, you know where to find me now. All right. Well, listen, you enjoy your day and good luck with all your work and good luck with your referendum, July 11th. Oh.
Yeah. It's 11th of July. I really hope.
Yeah, I'll look out for it for sure. Like, we don't get a lot of news from that part of the world, but I listen to a lot of different podcasts and I'm sure I'll be able to find some news about it all. I wish you the best.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, you too, with your promotion of the book and everything good.
Thank you. Thank you. Good luck with your apartment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I will need that.
Bye.
Monca and I will stay in touch. We follow each other on Instagram now. The referendum she mentions, well, it passed. The environmentalists won. Even though the government ran it on the first Sunday out of lockdown, hoping the climate activists would be fleeing to family and picnics around the countryside. But sadly, just as this goes to air, Slovenia has gone into another partial shutdown, again after becoming among the nation's hardest hit by the latest wave of Delta infections. So I hope you enjoyed this sort of brief interruption to the normal proceedings here on Wild. Feel free to contact me on Instagram or via my Substack newsletter, which is sarahwilson.substack.com. to request anyone else from my travels or from my books you'd like to know more about. And by the way, my Substack newsletter, and we'll put the link in the show notes, is where I'm doing most of my comments and interaction going forward. It essentially covers philosophy, art, pop culture, climate stuff, and group soul insights that might get us mobilized to save this one wild and precious life together. Anyway, until next week, stay wild.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.